to ask you for continued prayers for those in formation. I will keep on asking until Easter Vigil, right around Easter time when they do come into the church. So I'm asking you to pray for Gage, Betsy, Allison and Adam, Courtney and Tim, and the young people that Val Summers will be working with, Jill, Janelle, Meadow, Jonathan, Axel. And there's still a couple more couples that are discerning. Joanna and Christopher, Selena and Andrew, Mal and Kathy, and a young lady by the name of Katrina. So they're discerning, and their prayers will reach them to make their movement to come forward to prepare themselves for the sacraments. So, as I said in the introduction, all the readings have to do with preparedness, being prepared, having faith in our works to work with God's holy people, as hard as difficult that may be in our lifetime, to have faith in God. So continue to be vigilant. Sometimes going beyond the tasks that we think we have to do, what we feel we have to do amongst those who are close to us and who seeking something to learn more about the faith. So as today's first reading attests to a steady and covenant faith that the Israelites had through the centuries, a faith in God's love that prepared them to endure hardship and confident that they would be delivered. So it is in this sense, through the long practice of trusting in the covenant, that the fathers knew beforehand of the Passover. That's what we hear in today's first reading in Wisdom. So Solomon, writing this, basically people remembering of what they went through. It's kind of unique too. Sometimes we have in our first readings for the Sunday, the first reading preparing us for the gospel, the theme for this week is preparedness. Because in a gospel message, it's sobering, but the wisdom text, it celebrates Israel's readiness for God's decisive action in the Exodus. For centuries, for a long time, the Israelites languished in Egypt as slaves of their Egyptian masters, well over 400 years. Despite the passage of so much time, and despite the circumstances that made fulfillment seem impossible, the people continued to put their faith in God, believing that he would be faithful and that they would not be disappointed. So the next four Sundays, the second reading, we're going to hear from the letter to the Hebrews. The letter to the Hebrews is a late first century composition by an unknown author. Some people believe that he was close. He had connections with St. Paul. But you listen to the letter to the Hebrews, it has two main themes: the high priesthood of Jesus and the journey of God's people to their heavenly homeland. So today's reading begins with a frequently quoted definition of faith, although the author does not intend it to be a definition. Faith for the Hebrews involved both what they hope for and God's assurance that what they hoped for would become reality. And faith is also a personal act, centered in hope in God through Jesus Christ. Evidence of all that faith is found not in this world, but in the spiritual world. They cannot be seen through human eyes. So the passage we hear in Hebrews that describes Abraham's, how he embodied the understanding of faith, kept on using the same phrase, repeated the same time, by faith. By faith, to emphasize that God calls the Hebrews, calls us to live in faith, following our patriarch's example. Abraham's faith in God's promise of land, progeny, and prosperity is the basis for his descendants into a heavenly homeland. And then we hear in the final stanza, by faith, we hear the great test Abraham face, God asking Abraham to sacrifice his only son. I'm glad Priscilla read the final part of it, because the author of Hebrews concludes with the passage by interpreting Abraham's faith in light of Christ's resurrection. He sees God's gift of returning Isaac to Abraham as prefiguring of God raising Jesus from the dead. And so the author points that we Christians should be all more hopeful of our resurrection to the heavenly city in Jerusalem, since we have the faith of Abraham and the knowledge of Christ's resurrection to sustain us in our commitment to the journey. Into the gospel. Today's gospel is a continuation. The conclusion of last Sunday's gospel continues into the beginning of this Sunday's gospel. Excuse me. Jesus elaborates on the theme of dependence on God. He advises the disciples not to worry about their physical needs, but to rather to seek first the kingdom of God. He dispels their fear by calling them my little flock. But today's gospel begins with Jesus gently reinforcing his point that they need not fear for their well-being. He gives his disciples three instructions. Sell everything they have, give alms, and provide for themselves a lasting money bag. And then he uses the image of a treasure, as he did in last Sunday's gospel. The disciples' treasure must be God, and their heart must be in God. And when this is the case, they will be rich in what is important. Peter wants to find out, what is all this about? Just for us? And Jesus wants everybody to be vigilant servants. I think the disciples must have expected Jesus to identify exactly who among them would be the servant of the master. But we are all called to be faithful and prudent stewards, the one who would give service to all servants in the master. And so, just in conclusion for the readings for the day, that we need to be vigilant, we need to be prepared, we need to continue to serve God's holy people. Which leads me into sort of like the second homily, but I have to talk a little bit about this, because this week, this Tuesday, we celebrate 25 years here. 25 years here at St. Catherine's. The rededication of this church. Where has the time gone? I'm looking around to the people that were here 25 years ago when the procession for coming into the church started at the main door, and I was all the way in the back by the hall doors. That's how big the procession was. Apostolic prefect from the Marshall Islands, the Marshallese, we had the monks from St. Joseph's Abbey, we had servants, we had MCs. It was just truly beautiful to see. And here we are. I just want to talk about a reflection that St. Augustine wrote about the rededication of a church. St. Augustine wrote this: "We are gathered together to celebrate the dedication of the house of prayer. This is our house of prayer, but we too are a house of God. If we are a house of God, its construction goes on in time, so that it may be dedicated at the end of time. The house and this construction involves hard work, while its dedication is an occasion for rejoicing. What was done when this church was being built is similar to what is done when believers are built up in Christ. When they first come to believe that they are the timber and the stone taken from the woods and the mountains, in their instruction, baptism, and formation, they are to speak, they are to be shaped, leveled, and smoothed by the hands of the carpenter, the craftsman. But Christians do not make a house of God until they become one in charity. The timber and stone must fit together in an orderly plan, must be in perfect harmony, must give each other the support as if it were of love, and no one would enter the building. When you see the stones and the beams of the building holding together securely, you enter the building with an easy mind. You're not afraid of it, it's falling down in ruin. The work we see completed in this building is physical. It should find its spiritual counterpart in our hearts. So we see here the finished product in stone and wood. So too our lives should reveal the handiwork of God's grace. And so, reflecting back in the past 25 years, the way this community has had its ups and downs, but we continue to be developed. We continue to be deepened. We continue to expand our programs, outreach, and efforts. The good fruit has been our blessing for the past few years. And may our prayer to commit to continue to build up his body, the church, cooperating with the variety of rich gifts the Spirit has given to us. We pray that all who cross the threshold of our church, whether joining us in liturgy or coming to kindle a candle and lift up a choir prayer, will experience real hospitality, not only from us as a community, but most of all from the Master of this house, who dwells in our heart and never tires welcoming all who come to him. Our former pastor, Father Gary Béliveau, who built this beautiful church, always had a saying. Oh, some of you remember it. He would say, "We have a beautiful church. We are a beautiful church."